Oh, my Christian name at the time was Vernon. Vernon Lewis.
Vernon Lewis?
Yeah, and now my Muslim name is Ali Abdul Karim.
Because we will write at that time.
Nah, that's not. There's no gap in between. We know this Quran follows a certain science that it has to be interpreted. If one letter is missing from the Quran, it's no longer the Quran. And we have people who have, from the time of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we have tradition of people memorizing the Quran and keeping that science alive, inshallah. So those comparisons, so that's, you see the difference. You don't see people memorizing the whole Bible. You see people memorizing a lot of passages from it, but they only memorize that those passages that are conducive to the doctrine that they're trying to employ. Now you have all these denominations, the Baptists, the Methodists, you know, the Episcopalian, the Catholics. You know, who do we believe? And each of them were at odds with each other. You know, the Mormons, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses, they are at odds with each other. But they read, like Allah says, they are at odds with each other, even the Jews and the Christians, they are at odds, but they read the same book. So why are each one of them getting different understanding from the book, and why have each one of them saying they're not believers, they're not Christians? I had a Christian that I was dealing with, she denounces the Catholics. And I told her, I said, you know, you may be denouncing the Catholics, but your teaching comes from Catholic teachings. You know, even Martin Luther, he was a Catholic in the beginning. He just protested. He didn't denounce, you know, what he believed. He just protested against some of the methods of the priests, where people were buying themselves into heaven. He protested, but he didn't denounce the teachings that was coming from the Bible. So he was still a Catholic. So they denouncing the Catholics, but yet the Catholics were in control of the literature that they read. So this is the kind of education that most Christians are not involved. They don't indulge in that. You know, with us, if somebody tells us that a hadith is, we don't say, no, this is from the hadith. We don't, you know, but if they tell us that this hadith may have been sound, we don't just accept it on face value. We do an investigation. And then when we do it and we substantiate, yeah, this hadith is not, we reject it. You know, we say, okay, that's it. But with the Christians, you know, they don't want to hear it. When you bring them a point and say, look, this is an inconsistency here. You know, with the Christian scholars, this is the type of mind control. They say, it appears to be contradiction. It's an appearance of contradiction. It's not actually contradiction. You know, so they're trying to play mind games. And they've been doing that since we know. The missionaries, like you said, missionaries, they go over to Africa, they go over to Asia, they go over to the Middle East, and they propagate this stuff. We had, let me give you an example. We had some missionaries come here because they're propagating Christianity to the people from Ghana and Guinea, and they wanted to come here and speak to some of the Muslim brothers here from Guinea. Why? Because they want to know the culture. So when they go over there, they're already aware of the culture. So they're going to use knowing the culture to disarm the people. And we got wind of that, and we said, no, you know, we're going to tell you about Islam. If you want to know about Islam, but we're not going to tell you how to win the people over in Guinea. But that's the way the missionary has been operating from day one, since they went to the Middle East, since they went to Africa, since they went to Asia. They use it. Since they came here in this country against the Indians, against the natives here, you know, they use the Bible to disarm the people. So we know that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us about a time will come, and we know about that the time of fitan, that affliction, the last days, the sign of the last days, the major and minor signs. And one of the major issues that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought is this concept that's going to be presented, this Christian concept. He says the Christian world was going to be the predominant world, the predominant factor in dominating the world, and they're going to bring these teachings. And I just like to inject, when we talk about Dajjal, we talk about some that says that he's God or that's God. It says, well, how can we agree with that? I mean, it would be obvious that we would reject anybody that says that they're God. But we know that the stage is set for the Christians to believe that a man is God. You understand? They're groomed for that. They're groomed to look for a God man to come to you. So if that person comes and manufactures certain miracles, as we know, they will be succumbed because their teachings teaches them that man can become God. So it's easy for somebody to come with that. Pharaoh was one person. You know, he was one person, and he had the people doing his bidding. So we know that it could. We know the history and how one person can be thought of as being a god. Look at the tyrants and dictators of today. The people who submit to their particular way of governing things, and they submit to it, they're oppressing the people, but nobody stands up against them because they got the impression of this guy bigger than what he is. So we understand that human beings could be in placed in the position of people taking these human beings as God. They may not say that's my God, but their actions and their cooperation with these individuals implies that he has the sole power, that he is a ruler. So I was just injecting that because Christianity sets people up and grooms people to believe in these things. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against imitating them or assimilating to that extent, because once we assimilate, we start taking on the guise and the personality and the character of these people, and then we become subjected to it. So this is what my teachings in terms of coming out of Christianity, in terms of having an open mind, and then coming to Islam, where Islam just opened my mind up tremendously, you know. And that's the view. Islam continues, and it continues to do so, because Islam, the Quran, is an ever-revealing book. There's no, you know, I was telling people, you know, the beauty of the Quran. And I would say, you know how sophisticated the Quran is in the word of Allah, is that it was revealed 1434 years ago in the language, in this particular culture, but at the same time, its wording is conducive for today. We can realize its sophistication even what people call modern times, because it's applicable. It applies to modern times. It's not primitive. It's not archaic. You know, whatever the law is saying is sophisticated, because the law, we got to understand what he says will manifest itself. We don't realize how close we are to the Quran, to the word of Allah. Why we're close to it? Because what Allah says we're going to experience, he tells us, and we experience it. That's how close we are to it. We experience the word in that sense. And so as we go on, so the Quran is so sophisticated. And this, again, why Islam is so exciting to me, even to now, even being 40 years of it, I still get this burst of spiritual, you know, nourishment and upliftment and excitement when I speak about Islam, because that's the way Islam, the impression Islam has had on me all this life. Well, when I first became, and we say revert because Islam is fitra, right? But when I reverted to Islam, there was a struggle in the beginning with my parents. I didn't have that much problems with my siblings, you know, but with my parents in the beginning, right? There wasn't a major thing. It wasn't a major class. Yeah, because one thing my parents did see, they saw the change in me. You know, I mean, look, I was a young man growing up in this neighborhood, so I got involved in things that I shouldn't have. And they were concerned more about that. But when I became Muslim, that all changed. And my whole lifestyle changed. I got married, I had children, and I was more concerned. But the thing, you know, I used to get in the clash with my parents because I had lost my apartment, and I wound up having to bring my families and live with my mother and father at the time. And I had to live with them. So in the time, I was making prayer and this and that. And my father kind of got disturbed about that. And you know, he said, no, I don't want you making prayer in the house. I had to disobey him, as Allah said. You know, but I was respectful. I did it where he couldn't see it. You know, but I couldn't stop making prayer. I mean, that was a given. The thing, and I used to get in clashes with them because it was about Jesus being the Son of God and so forth. And, you know, again, I was anxious to give that information. I was anxious to impart that positive understanding about what faith really is in terms of who Allah is. And that's one of the main things also that impressed upon me, the real fact of who Allah was and is. You know, I knew something wasn't there in terms of Christianity. There was something missing. I didn't believe that Jesus was God. It didn't dawn on me. It didn't really factor in about the Son of God, although it was said. I may say it, but I didn't say it in the sense that Jesus is the God. I just said it because that's what's the theology, Christian theology. But my clash with my parents was that point. Now, what really calmed everything down with my father is that I knew the Bible. And that was, and I had a heads up. I had a step ahead. I knew the Bible. I knew the God. Read the Bible from cover to cover, constantly, frequently. So I knew. So Islam allowed me to pinpoint things in the Bible, about the unity of God and how Jesus was not God and these kind of things. So I was able to sit down with my father one day. He opened up to me. He said, he was questioning me, and I was bringing certain point, but I didn't bring everything from the Quran. I brought from the Quran through the Bible. And I used to sit there, and after that session with my father, I had no more problems with him in it then. He respected what I did. He never, he didn't question. He may not have agreed with it, but he gave license to me doing it in that sense in this household, and my relationship with him grew stronger, in that sense. And he can understand, but he understand. Now I had a cousin too. I had a cousin because I sat down with my family. I did, hopefully, as Allah has instructed, after we become Muslim, go to your family. I did that. I sat down with my cousins with the Bible, and I showed them, and a lot of no arguments about it. One of my cousins allowed me to sit down with her daughter. Now, normally Christians ain't gonna allow you to. I sat down with her daughter because her daughter was interested in Islam. But my family has so much respect for me, alhamdulillah, that they allow me to come into their household. To this very day, I told you, I go to my family every Sunday as dawah and I sit down. Now, what I do now, because I'm, the love for my family turns to their health, because I'm health conscious, and I'm into, herbs and holistic things. So we have workshops every Sunday where I'm trying to impress upon my family about their health. But there's doors that I ask Allah to guide my family to Islam, however, whichever way that be. So I figure this may be one way Allah's fashioning me to do that. So what I do, I use their health thing as a vehicle to open up for Islam. I had a brother, he's like my doctor, he's a holistic doctor, he's a Muslim, and I brought him, and I told him, look, this is what you do, open up, you can, just slide it in. He said, yeah, we're going to slide Islam in, at the same time, we're going to, try to inform them about health and make them health conscious. Now, when you speak about black seed, you can't help but speak about Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we opened up with these things. Now, also, there are spiritual settings that I have with my family where we speak about the Bible, where we speak about Adam and things. So without saying that this comes from the Quran, I just inject Islamic teachings in these religious settings. I get no arguments from them. As a matter of fact, I get agreement. I get them agreeing to what I'm saying. And at the same time, I'll mention Allah. I'll mention, so these are things. So these conflicts that I've had in the past, I had one cousin who passed away who looked at me, and this is a cousin for years, I've known her, and she was before she passed, she was a strict Christian, but she said, one time I was coming, because there was a funeral or something, I was coming to church for a funeral, somebody passed away. You know what she said to me? She looked at me, she said, they called me Vernon then, she said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. That's what she said. So those are signs for me. And these are strict Christians, but they recognize something here. You understand? I don't know what it is. I don't prefer myself to be anything other than a Muslim, but I know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. I make dua. You never know what people see in you when you try to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you never know what kind of influence. The influence doesn't necessarily always have to come with the tongue. It can come with how you exhibit yourself, your character, how you display yourself, how you display your Islam, how you follow, how you give impressions about what you believe. People can just look at you. That's da'wah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his actions, his example was da'wah for us. You know, so I have a good feeling about this. I ask Allah, you know, because we're asking Allah for something that He wants us to ask for, something that is good, something that is right there for us. It's not like something that Allah may say, well, maybe it's not good for you or whatever, or maybe it's just a time. This is something that we say. It's like saying, Allah, I want to believe in you. Allah, make me make my prayer on time. Allah, make me complete my fast. These are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us to do. So I'm like, I don't know. Every day I wake up, I'm excited about my deen. You know, I mean, it's like I become Muslim. That's why I said I tap into how I was before, because it's the impression. I'm in my 60s, so I'm at that stage. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in 60. So whoever you are at 60, that's who you are. That's who you are at 60. That's who you will be when you meet Allah. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about 60 being the stage in which you are, whatever form that you were going to be, whatever intentions, that's been formed. So I'm excited about Islam. With all the fitna or the struggles that we're experiencing now, the anti-Islamic feelings and things that the people have, that doesn't bother me one bit. It bothers me that people have that feeling, but it doesn't impact me where it causes me to be apprehensive about my deen, because I know, you know what I tell people, I said, look, Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know how this thing is going to end. You know, no matter what these people are doing, we know, it's just like watching a movie that you watching it twice. You know, the villain's in there, he's doing his thing, but you know at the end he's going to get his just due. We know how it's going to, so that's why we don't despair, because we know that people are going to go through certain motions, but in the end, it's always going to come back to Allah, and Allah and Islam is always going to triumph, and the believers are going to triumph. So that's my hope about this deen. Right. In church, you had like on Sundays that from the morning to the evening there was church activities. You know, had what they call Sunday school. You know, where you would go and then you learn certain things. Depends on what grade, you know, you were in the Sunday school. You would learn things about, you know, Christianity. You know the main focus in Christianity is based on Jesus, and you know, we would learn the, you know, the study of the Bible, certain stories in the Bible, you know, and we would deal with situations where after Sunday school, then there were what they call the morning service, and in the morning service, that's when the preacher and the pastor gets up. Like in Islam, the imam gives the khutbah in there, the pastor gives the sermon, you know, for about maybe two hours, hour and a half, or whatever case is from that point. And then afterwards, in terms of the church, was made up of my family. You know, I had my cousins, my aunts and uncles, you know, were the predominantly congregants in the church. So after the morning service, then we would, you know, go to eat. You know, my families would get together. That's how we did. You know, every Sunday, you know, we would go to one of my aunt's house, and, you know, and family would come together, and they would, you know, they would have the, you know, the Sunday meal and so forth. You know, so that's basically what I remembered in the church childhood. You know, I had a very fun childhood. You know, in terms of the projects, you know, we had a lot of activities. It was very mixed at the time. As time went on, you know, it became predominantly African American and Spanish or Latino, and that sense. So I had all different types of friends during that time. You know, but as I remember, we had really a fun time. My family were Christians, right, and they were very devout Christians at the time, and you know, I would, you know, we would go to church every Sunday. My family, my mother and father, almost went to church almost every day. In that sense, you know, one thing I can say is that outside of the belief, Christian belief, they had extremely morals. They were very ethical, principle, you know, they were very, they had integrity, they were very dignified families, you know, or parents. And they taught me very well in that sense, you know, moral principles and things of that nature, you know. So that's basically my childhood, you know. And I had friends, you know, we had friends, and we did, you know, a whole day of activities, you know, sports and swimming and little other hobbies that we have developed, you know. So it's very, very controlled atmosphere, you know, and very, very decent, you know, innocent, you know, activities and so forth, you know. And